You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy middle of Timberwolves training camp, or at least the individual workouts this week. Things are getting underway. There's some big news today in the form of jerseys. The Timberwolves releasing their City Edition uniforms today. So, of course, I know that you come here for your one-stop shop for all things fashion and NBA fashion and uniform rankings. I'll admit I haven't looked at all of the City Edition uniforms league-wide, so I'm not prepared to give a ranking, but I can rank the Timberwolves City Edition uniforms so far since Nike's taken over the jersey, I guess, creation and production for the NBA. So we'll talk a little bit about that off the top, and then also some additional quotes from Media Day that are kind of floating around. Ricky Rubio, Malik Beasley, guys who have spoken to the media over the past couple of days, and a couple articles that have come out talking about the Timberwolves, the current situation, Malik Beasley's situation, the legal deal, some of the headlines he's making. So we'll touch on that briefly. And then I also want to talk today a little bit about some of the power rankings that are already coming out. It's way too early. I am not prepared, and I will be very clear about this. I'm not making any official predictions now. In fact, the Locked On NBA preview shows are coming out, I believe, starting next week. So we'll get some full predictions there. And I will do some full prediction shows here upcoming as we draw closer. We're still a couple weeks out from the start of the regular season. So this is by no means going to be an official projection. However, I do want to talk a little bit about the odds, but the likelihood of the Timberwolves making the playoffs, the teams they'll have to jump over, also the new playoff formatting, allowing 10 teams a shot at the postseason. So some of the power rankings that are out there, some of the folks that are surmising whether or not the Timberwolves could potentially break into that top 10 tier in the West to have a shot at the playoffs this year. So I want to close the show by talking about that. First, though, off the top, a quick reminder to please subscribe to the show. Of course, a daily Timberwolves podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you like to get your shows, your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. And don't forget the T. All right. So let's talk about the City Edition uniforms. Why not? If you haven't seen them, head on over to the Timberwolves Twitter account. And they released, as they typically do with the City Edition uniforms, about a 45-second video highlighting the uniforms with a lot of kind of green hues around the city of Minneapolis, and a really cool kind of introductory video to the uniform. I guess I'll describe it if you haven't seen it, although I'm guessing you probably have at this point. But it's a black uniform with the bright green accents on it. The across the chest, it has the MINN abbreviation for Minnesota, with the I dotted with the North Star, with this bright green, and green trim around the neck, which we haven't seen. I don't think we've seen a green trim since the green trees of course the Kevin Garnett era uniforms. Green trim around the sleeves, and then also the waistband of the shorts is green all the way around, with kind of an inverted North Star across the belt where the belt buckle would be, with the stating green and the black North Star in the middle that's inverted. And the North Star's in, I think it's a like a silver down the sides of the shorts and the side of the jersey, the side jersey panel as well, which I think is probably the coolest part of the jersey. I also really like the belt buckle, the green state of Minnesota with the inverted North Star. But the uniforms are, I like them as always, and I always reserve this right. Anytime they release a new uniform, I have to see them on the court before I give them a full judgment, because I think that's the true judge of how they're going to look. I actually thought I was going to like the neon green ones until I saw them on the court. And then I was kind of out on them. The blue ones I thought were just okay. The light blue with the MSP from last year. And then I saw them on the court and they looked awesome on the court and have been my favorite, or I guess second favorite City Edition to date. The Prince uniforms were great, both on the court and off the court. The black ones with the purple, the initial City Edition. And then the earned ones, which were the white with the purple text, were not as good as the black with the purple. But at any rate, these I think are sharp. I think they're going to look really good on the court, and I'm excited to see them in action. The Wolves have released a bunch of gear, of course, that you can purchase for this year's City Edition on their team store. But go check that out. I actually think they're going to be really cool. But as I said before, I need to see them on the court before I make my final judgment on the new City Edition, the North Star Timberwolves uniforms. All right, let's talk about media day and some of the other quotes. We talked about Ricky Rubio and Juancho Hernan Gomez's media availability, some of the Rosas quotes, Ryan Saunders quotes on yesterday's show. There's a couple of other Rubio quotes that are making the rounds regarding the organization as a whole. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago now, but Rubio was blindsided by the trade from Phoenix to Oklahoma City. And rightfully so. The Suns went 8-0 in the bubble. Rubio was a really nice fit with Devin Booker, helped cover for him defensively, helped him get easier shots on offense. It kept Booker from needing to be the primary playmaker for that Phoenix Suns team. And then the Suns decided to upgrade by trading for Chris Paul. And Chris Paul is an upgrade over Ricky Rubio. I'm not arguing that he's not. I'm dubious about the overall fit because of how much more Chris Paul is going to want the ball in his hands, and also the cost that Chris Paul is going to bring with him, the salary, you know, having to move on from Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio to bring in Paul's salary. I don't know. That's another conversation. But at any rate, Rubio wasn't expecting to be traded. And when Oklahoma City approached him and said, hey, we're going to flip you somewhere else, we don't know what other teams might have been interested, but apparently Rubio's agent, and it sounds like the Thunder did a great thing by looping in the agent on this. His agent went to the Timberwolves and said, hey, or the agent went to Rubio and said, hey, the Timberwolves are one of the possible destinations that you could end up. What are your thoughts? And Rubio basically said he wanted to compete to go to the playoffs. Obviously, he loves Minnesota, and we talked about this. He sees it as a second home. His happiest days in the NBA were in Minnesota. Juancho spoke to that. Of course, Spanish national teammates with Rubio knows him well. But Rubio didn't want to be part of rebuilding. He saw Minnesota's roster and did not think that it's a rebuilding team. So this is a quote from Rubio. He said, I don't feel like we're in a rebuilding process. We're a couple of steps ahead. We're already making things happen with D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns hitting their 5 years in the league. They still have a lot of room to improve, but I feel like they learned a lot. It's not like a young core where they don't know how this league goes. End quote. And he's right, which is, and we'll get into this later, I'm still surprised at the number of folks that seem to think the Timberwolves are you know, they're just counting them out of the playoffs. We're talking about a team with two 24-year-old all-stars. And I know they've got their issues, especially defensively, really almost entirely defensively. But to just assume the Timberwolves aren't going to be good this year seems to be dangerous. Rubio then also invoked Derek Favors, which I thought was interesting when he was asked, and I talked about this on Wednesday as well. Rubio said he'd be willing to start or come off the bench if it meant the team was going to the playoffs, and that was his primary concern. Rubio said about Derek Favors, Favors didn't say a word. He kept working, and at the end of the day, we won. And that's, of course, talking about him moving from the starting lineup to the bench. And, you know, then he moved on and had a bigger role elsewhere in New Orleans. And Rubio said, that's what you care about. You have to sacrifice something for the best for the team. If it's coming off the bench, would I like it? No, I wouldn't like it, I'll be honest, but I would be willing to do it for the best of the team, which is exactly what you'd expect out of Ricky Rubio. And frankly, I mean, Ryan Saunders talked a lot about those guys playing together, about Rubio and D'Angelo Russell playing together. We don't know if they're going to start together. We just aren't clear on that yet. So we'll see. I do think Rubio's, I mean, he's going to play 30 minutes a game. I mean, he's not coming here to be a 20, you know, 18 minute a game backup point guard. It's a guy who's never played less than 28 minutes, 27.9 minutes per game was his career low average. And that was with Utah 2 years ago. In Phoenix last year, he averaged 31 minutes a game, which was his highest since his last year in Minnesota, of course, which was under Tom Thibodeau. He averaged 33 minutes a game, which was his second highest minutes per game in his career, except for his rookie year under Rick Adelman, who was also notorious for leaning heavily on his starting lineups. So you're looking at a guy who, for his career in the NBA, has averaged 31 minutes a game. He's going to be right around that mark again. It might be 29 minutes, it might be 28 minutes, but it's not going to be less than that. Ricky Rubio is going to be on the court a lot this year, whether or not he's in the starting lineup, and that's definitely a conversation that will be ongoing related to the Wolves starting lineup and how much run Rubio will actually get. All right, next up here, let's talk about the a couple of additional quotes from Media Day, Malik Beasley, just a little bit on him, and then dive into power rankings and the case for the Wolves to be in the playoff conversation come May or June or whenever the playoffs end up being this year. All right, on Friday's show this week, we're going to talk, of course, an update on anything else training camp that comes up. Hoping we get the schedule perhaps by the end of this week. It would seem right that the NBA would get it out here sooner rather than later. But we'll obviously put a bow on this week as a whole, everything that's happened, and that'll be Friday's show as we look ahead to next week. And now, as of right now, we're 9 days away from the Wolves' first preseason game. So get excited to see this team on the court, to see what these rotations are going to look like, at least from day one. Obviously, opening night and preseason especially is not going to look the same as, you know, 2-3 weeks into the season, early January. I'm sure things are going to change, but I think I speak for everyone in saying that we're all excited to see the Timberwolves finally hit the court again. All right, let's talk about Malik Beasley. He did some media availability on, I guess this was on Wednesday, and John Krasinski at The Athletic wrote an article about that and about Beasley as a whole and what he's bringing and the Wolves culture that they're trying to build. On the media availability, Beasley was asked a number of questions. He couldn't say much about his legal situation because he has a court date here in 2 weeks, and is kind of, you know, anything he says could be used against him in court, and he's trying to be really judicious with what he's speaking to. The Wolves talked, both Ryan Saunders and Gerson Rosas have talked and did talk on Wednesday about the culture they're creating, the importance of family, and that there's expectations for Malik Beasley. You're looking at a guy who now has you know, in total could be worth $60 million over 4 years. He's getting paid $15 million a year on average. And he may get suspended. There was a report by Dane Moore yesterday that sources told him that it's likely, quote, likely that Malik Beasley will be suspended this year for part of the season based on the ongoing legal situation. That's assuming he doesn't get any sort of jail time or anything that he would need to take care of before taking the court. But there's also other tabloidish type headlines that I don't think are worth going into that are out there related to Beasley and his personal life and his you know, marriage, et cetera. And those are things that the Timberwolves haven't had a lot of guys who are making those types of headlines. And that comes with being a higher profile guy with, the tabloid headlines are a bigger deal now because he's been in legal issues or in legal troubles. And people know the name for that reason. And so casual NBA fans now know who Malik Beasley is. And it's not because he was shooting 43% on threes and dropping 21 points a game for a bad Timberwolves team back in March. And that's not good for him. It's not good for the Timberwolves. Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders talk all the time about family. And they're trying to build that culture in Minnesota. I think it's, frankly, a little bit complicated with as much roster turnover as the team has had. And probably, I mean, Gerson Rosas is still promising more turnover by saying they're not done building the roster. Of course, it would be foolish to say they are done building the roster, but you wonder how much that could eat at players who know that they could be on the next train out of town. Derek Culver, his name was in trade rumors all offseason, and he's one of the few players on the team that's tradable, that has trade value. And yet, he was last year's number 6 overall pick. So yeah, that's a little bit of a different conversation, but that family, the talk about family, clearly Saunders and Rosas and the organization as a whole is trying to put their arms around Beasley and help him through this. Krasinski reported in his article about Beasley that Karl Anthony Towns visited him shortly after the legal issues, that Rosas and Saunders have been in regular voice-to-voice contact with him, checking in on Beasley, seeing how he's doing. And now that Beasley's back in town and at the facility, he talked about how excited he is to be back in the family environment. He mentioned the organization being like a family to him. So it's not just Rosas and Saunders. It's the players too that feel that way. And that's credit to the organization. It's a credit to Rosas and Saunders and also ownership and Glenn Taylor and putting people in place that are going to create a very different environment than it was under Tom Thibodeau. And we'll see what that means. Not 12, but 14, 15 months ago, the Bahamas trip last September, how many guys are still on the team? Jake Layman, Karl Anthony Towns. I think that's it. I don't think Jared Culver was on that trip. I mean, it's a different team. It's a different roster, and it's happening all the time with Gerson Rosas' Timberwolves. And as long as Towns and now D'Angelo Russell and by way of their contracts, Beasley especially, but also Ricky Rubio, to a lesser extent, Hernan Gomez and Ed Davis, you know, those are going to be the guys that are kind of the tent poles of this team and direct this team where they need to go. And how the Wolves as an organization respond to the Beasley situation is going to be watched very carefully by fans, by those in the media. Will this team come out on the other side? Will Mike Beasley come out on the other side, having hopefully learned a lesson, learned how to carry oneself in the spotlight and learn from their mistakes and the things that have allegedly occurred that Beasley's accused of doing. So at any rate, interesting media availability, interesting that Beasley was certainly judicious in what he was saying, as I said earlier. And I think to this point, it seems like the Wolves as an organization are handling this as well as possible. And hopefully the $60 million doesn't end up becoming some sort of an albatross if the legal troubles were to continue or Beasley was to let the off-court issues bleed into affecting his game. It was also mentioned in the article by Krasinski about just how important or how much the Wolves have been harping on his defense, and rightfully so. Beasley mentioned in the availability that him and Ryan Saunders have talked all the time about defense. Saunders has apparently been on him and Towns and Russell and talked about how defense, and we'll get into this here in the next segment, is that the Wolves are going to go as far as their defense takes them. This is almost certainly, it's got to be a top 10 offense. They've got a shot at being a top 5 or 6 offense in the league because of just how high end the talent is with Russell, Towns, Beasley. These guys are all likely going to shoot. Certainly Beasley and Towns are going to shoot north of 40% from three on massive volume. And Russell's a good volume 3-point shooter. I mean, this is going to be a dynamic offense. And if these guys understand just how good the defense or how important the defense is to the level that they need to, they've also got the ability to be good defensively too. And that's going to be the key, is whether or not we're talking about another season that everybody had even more anticipation simply because of the long layoff that goes down the drain quickly, or we're talking about a team that really might actually be turning the corner. So I want to talk about that next. Make my case, my very early case, without even knowing exactly what the final roster looks like, anything about the rotation, why this team could make the playoffs, and talk through a couple of the power rankings that are already out there, frankly, extremely early before the start of the season, but still talk through some of those here in just a second. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about power rankings and the possibility of the Timberwolves making the playoffs. Let's start with the power rankings that kind of got me thinking down this path, and that is the Bleacher Report power rankings released earlier this week. It looks like Monday, actually. Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report, we talked a lot about his fake trades and things that he's put out there. But let's talk power rankings. So number 30, last in his power rankings, is the New York Knicks, an old friend, Tom Thibodeau. He's got the Pistons at 29, Cavs at 28. Thunder at 27, Kings at 26. I think the bottom four are almost a consensus bottom four at this point. When you look at the Knicks, Pistons, Cavs, Thunder, that seems right to me. The Kings at 26 seems a little bit low. The Hornets at 25, I'd maybe flip those, not a big deal. The Bulls at 24 seems about right. The Magic at 23 might be a little low, but remember Jonathan Isaac is out. Due to the torn ACL that he suffered in the bubble. The Wizards at 22 might be a little bit high. I don't know how they're going to be any better than last year, quite frankly. I shouldn't say they shouldn't. They'll probably be a little better. They got Bertans back, but I just don't know how this team's going to be much better. And then he's got the Wolves at 21. And there was an ESPN Power Rankings a few weeks ago that I think we talked about on the show. I think it was late October. The Wolves were 25, which I thought was very low. Some of the teams they had ahead of the Wolves on that ranking were the Kings, the Wizards, the Magic, the Suns. You know, I guess you have to have them ahead of the Wolves. That was pre-trade for Chris Paul. But at any rate, the Wolves at 25 seemed extremely low. The Wolves at 21 is probably about right for a preseason ranking, because as much as I'm pretty bullish on the Wolves this year being a competitive at least 500 team, which, you know, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs in the West, and we'll talk more about that here later, but they're not a bottom five team in the league this year. And again, the obvious caveat of if they stay healthy, they're not likely a bottom 10 team, but that's why I understand the number 21 ranking. So the commentary here from Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report is basically he thinks that Edwards plus Ricky Rubio plus the existing Towns and Russell pairing is going to make the offense fantastic. I think maybe he gives a little too much credit to Edwards. Not a lot, not any credit at all. In fact, he doesn't even mention bringing back Malik Beasley, who I think is going to be a dynamic offensive player for this team. He talks about Jarrett Culver's promise. So I'm not sure the analysis here is quite as sound for somebody who doesn't, he doesn't cover the team nearly as closely as someone like myself. But some of the teams he's got ahead of him, he's got the Spurs at 20, the Grizzlies at 19, the Suns at 18, the Pelicans at 17. So there's just a run of these teams that are all going to be battling it out for the 8, 9, 10 spots in the Western Conference. And then he's got the Hawks all the way up at number 16, which is a little shocking to me. I know that they added Bogdanovich and Gallinari and Rondo, I guess, and Chris Dunn's going to make a difference. But putting them that high, I think, ignores maybe a little bit. You know, Trae Young's just a little bit overrated. I understand he's an all-star, but Okongwu is a rookie. Some of those wing players, I mean, I don't know how much those minutes get shuffled with Bogdanovich and Gallinari, but guys like young players, Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, I think all those guys have to make mini leaps in order for this team to be a solid playoff team, which is what he's classifying them as here at number 16 in the league. But that's a team I'd probably put in the same category as the Timberwolves, because the Wolves, again, have two 24-year-old all-stars in Towns and Russell, and given health, it's impossible to say that they're a bottom 10 team. So anyways, let's talk about the Western Conference and the playoff formatting for this year. If you missed all that, basically, instead of just eight seeds, there are play-ins to determine the 7 and 8 seeds in each conference. So the way this is going to work, once it gets down to the end of the season, is the team with the 7th best winning percentage in each conference will host the team with the 8th best winning percentage in a play-in game, and the winner wins the 7th seed. Then there's also a game between the 9th best team and the 10th best team in each conference. The loser of the 7-8 game, so that the team that loses to the eventual 7 seed, will then host the winner of the 9-10 game. So the loser of 9-10 is out. The winner of 9-10 plays the loser of 7-8 for the 8th seed. So the Timberwolves only need to be in the top 10 to have a shot at the playoffs. If they finish 10th and they win that game, then they have to win one more game in order to get the 8th seed. So there would still need to be two consecutive wins in order to make the playoffs. But in essence, then you're playing playoff basketball. And I don't know if they're going to, I know with like baseball, the game 163 tiebreaker isn't considered a playoff game. I'm not sure if that's actually technically considered a playoff game, the 9-10 game or not, or if it's just simply a play-in game and it's its own thing. But at any rate, I mean, it would be a playoff game in the same way that game 82 of the Jimmy Butler season, Timberwolves Nuggets, was a play-in game for the playoffs. Even though it was game 82, it was effectively a playoff game. And that's what these would be. And we're still talking about a team that's made the playoffs one time in now 19 seasons, I think. Yeah, 19 seasons. And that was, of course, just 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago with Jimmy Butler and company. So, you know, top 10 seed in the West. I mean, look at some of these other teams that the Wolves are competing with. You talk about, and we're going to do this as we get closer to the season, so I'll just do it quickly now. But both teams in LA are obviously playoff teams. The Nuggets are a playoff team. That's probably your top 3 seeds in some order. And then I'd probably put the Mavericks next as the likely 4 seed. And after that, you're probably looking at some combination of the Jazz and Blazers, most likely. Although I know the Blazers struggled last year. They're going to be healthier. I don't think the Blazers are quite a shoe-in, but we'll call the Jazz the 5th seed. And then the Rockets and Blazers in some order are probably 6 and 7. So now you're talking about 8, 9, 10. We haven't talked about the Warriors. We'll give them a spot. That's 8 teams that are for sure in. And now we're talking the Suns, the Spurs, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, and I'll say the Grizzlies would be 5 teams shooting for 2 spots. I think the Wolves, confidently, I would say they're better than the Kings. I think they're going to be better than the Grizzlies. I know everybody loves Ja Morant and they look good in the bubble, but I'm going to say the Wolves are better than the Grizzlies. I'm going to say they're better than the Spurs. And that means it's the Wolves, Pelicans, and Suns battling it out for 2 spots. And of those 3 teams, given health across the board, I would probably rank the Wolves, if I had to, rank them ahead of the Pelicans and maybe behind the Suns at this point, which would put them right at number 10 in the West. So I think realistically, the Wolves are the 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th best team in the West, which means they're going to be right in the thick of battling it out for a playoff spot. And it's going to make this team the season a lot of fun. And I'm not willing to make a projection yet on wins. I'm not willing to make a projection on the playoffs at this point, but that's kind of where I'm thinking at this point. I'm thinking that they're going to be right in the thick of things for the 10th 10th spot in the playoffs. Rubio even mentioned it in his media availability earlier this week that there's not just eight teams, there's 10. And the players know this. They're thinking about this. They know that all they got to do is get into the tournament, and they've got some pretty good, pretty dynamic offensive players. Obviously, playoff basketball is a little bit different than a random Tuesday in January, but this is a team that could make some fireworks. And we'll talk a lot more about playoff seeding and you know, give some Western Conference projections as we get a bit closer. We've got about 2 weeks to do it now. But my early thought is the Wolves are right there at between 9 and 11, 9 and 12 in the Western Conference, and are going to have a legitimate shot at cracking that top 10. I don't know, I guess it's May. Is that when the playoffs start? Yeah, the play-in tournament's May 18th through the 21st. So we're talking late May before the actual playoffs start. Okay, that's all we have for today's show. Of course, one more show this week on Friday. We're with you daily Monday through Friday. So be sure to check back for any new Wolves news that crops up. We'll talk about training camp. We'll talk about previewing next week as we get into preseason basketball next weekend. Only, what, 6 more shows until the Wolves play their first preseason game. So lots to talk about and frankly, not that much time, at least not as much time as we're used to after the Wolves not playing in 9 months. So that'll be tomorrow. That'll be next week. Get excited for actual real live Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. It's coming very soon. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you like to get your podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, really everywhere. And if you enjoy the show, please help us out on Apple, on iTunes with a review. Help us get in front of more folks. And please follow us on Twitter, Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. I'll be live tweeting games this year and be a lot more active on the account here once the season gets rolling. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.